best at knock-knock jokes.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Boo.
Boo-hoo.
You don't have to cry about it. You're listening to KQAL.
But we're great at radio. 89.5 KQAL Winona.
That's the one we're going to go with.
That was my very favorite part of the whole concert, that song. I just want to thank people who've called in already. My niece Christine and Brenda Scott, Taylor, Katie, and a few others. And they've made some really good suggestions. They've chosen my favorite band, U2, Scott's favorite, Bruce Springsteen, and Simon Garfunkel and Fleetwood Mac, both other that we
and
really
Hootie and the
Blowfish.
So. Among, and Hootie and the Blowfish and other Blowfish. Suggestions. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't write that one down.
So what that's about, folks, if you're tuning in late, is the opportunity to call in, and if they ever did a desert trip too, who should be on the bill? And there's a prize for the best suggestion, and Doug will tell us in a second what that number is to call in. Or you can get us on Facebook, 89.5 FM KQAL, your radio alternative. But unfortunately, this is the end of hour one, and unfortunately, we're losing Kelly. So
yes,
thanks, hon, for coming in for the first half of the show.
She's just leaving for the day.
Thanks,
we're not losing her.
I was really nervous, but you made it not as nerve-wracking.
Well, you did a great job.
Thank you. It was really fun. Thanks, everybody, and Desert Trip was a blast. Go, Mick.
And that brings us to night two of that festival, and that started off with Neil Young, and here we've got Neil Young with Heart of Gold. Well, that was Neil Young with Walk On, preceded by Rockin' in the Free World and Heart of Gold. And I'd never seen Neil Young before, but man, he was great and rocked it out. And I'll say a little bit more about this in a minute, but there was a little crossover that evening between him and a certain ex-Beatle. I guess we got a couple other suggestions along the way. I think we heard Beach Boys, As Long as Brian Wilson's There, and mm-hmm. I think we heard Traveling Wilburys.
Correct. From Michael.
And great suggestions. Keep them coming in, folks.
The Wilburys have a problem getting together, right?
Well, George Harrison and Roy Orbison aren't probably coming to the show, but heck, I mean, Paul McCartney was there, and, you know, the Rolling Stones don't have all their original members either, so who knows? This next segment of the show, the Paul McCartney segment, was kind of important to me. I've seen him four times. It was the very first concert I saw. I was, probably 9th grade or 10th grade, mm-hmm. and Paul McCartney, it was the Venus and Mars tour, and they came to the old St. Paul Civic Center. Wow. You would remember that, Doug.
Round building, very nondescript.
And I'd never seen a concert before, and it was kind of an amazing thing. They had, like, lasers, and I'd never seen lasers before, and there were special effects that I couldn't figure out how they were doing it. And the real kind of weird thing they did was they had, and they repeated it at Desert Trip, they had, if folks can picture the album cover from Band on the Run, it's, Google it now, folks, if you can't picture it, it's the band, Wings, Paul's band, with also some other stars, Christopher Lee and I think James Coburn and some others, kind of pinned up against a wall in a spotlight like they've been, you know, caught in a heist or jailbreak.
Busted.
And they had that up on the video screen at that very first concert. So this would have been like 1975, 76, I think. And you're looking at that still image, and all of a sudden it started to move. Mm-hmm. And little did we know, that was actually a frame from a video. And they showed the actors interacting, and it wasn't anything too amazing by modern standards. But at the time, it was really kind of surprising.
Because as the Beatles, they walked out on stage with their instruments and played.
Yeah.
There was nothing except microphones, lights, and instruments.
You weren't there, were you, at Shea Stadium when the Beatles came walking out?
I was at Met Stadium.
Did the Beatles come to Met Stadium?
Yeah, no, I wasn't there.
No, okay, man, if only, if only.
They did play at Met Stadium, though.
I'm curious, Doug, what was the first concert you saw?
I can't remember. It was either The Who at the St. Paul Civic Center.
Okay, sounds good.
Or the Eagles, Steve Miller, Pablo Cruz at Met Stadium.
Good taste. Very good taste.
And that was like I was in 10th grade.
Okay.
And I think it was 75 or 76. And tickets were $10.
Yeah.
And so they had 60,000 people. And so they were all strewn across what was the baseball field at the time. But I ran up to that. I don't know if you remember the third deck of the Met Stadium.
Yes,
and
I do.
So I went up to the third deck and got as close to the front so you could just see all of center field because that's where they put the stage. It was pretty incredible.
And, folks, that's where the Mall of America stands now. And if you search inside the Mall of America, you will find like a little bronze indicator of where home plate was in the old Met Stadium.
It's in the amusement park.
Yeah, in the amusement park.
And then IKEA is basically where the Met Center was, where the North Stars played.
Yeah, and I miss it all.
Yeah.
But Paul McCartney was great. I don't know if there's a way to post video, but I did get a little bit of video of part of his performance that showed kind of how big and how amazing it was. He played some solo Paul McCartney stuff. He played some Wings stuff. And, of course, he played some Beatles stuff. But this next track is one of those Wings songs. This was from, I think it was from the Band on the Run album, and it's 1985. Okay, Wings, Paul McCartney, 1985. So this next track we're going to play may seem like a strange choice, but the reason we're playing it is, for me, the highlight of the show was when Neil Young joined Paul McCartney on stage and they did three songs. They did A Day in the Life, and they segued right into Give Peace a Chance, which is a John Lennon song, and then they played this next track, which is strange indeed, from the White Album, Why Don't We Do It in the Road?
Why don't we do it in the road?
Why don't we do it in the road?
That's you.
Okay. Sort of Beatles, but Paul sang that, but he had Neil Young up there, and Neil Young kind of knows how to hammer that axe, so it was kind of fun. Lot of kind of a mix of Beatles and a mix of Wings and a mix of original Paul McCartney stuff, including some really new stuff. The next track we're going to play is on the CD. It's track one, and this was... this blew the place apart. We're talking, and you'll know why when you hear it, we're talking flames were coming up out of the stage, fireworks were shooting out of the top of the stage, lasers were shooting over the heads of everybody. You ever been to a concert like that?
Oh, hey. I'm
hey,
here too.
Ann, how
this
are
is
you?
Not Kelly.
Not like that, no, but I have been to one where they have just like small fireworks because it was indoors, so I'm kind of sad.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably when they're doing something outside like that at a festival, they can just let it rip.
Yeah.
And this was one, you know, you couldn't do it inside because it was, you know, there were fireworks shooting way, way high up into the sky. And
probably wouldn't have a venue after that.
No, that's true. So it'll be clear, you know, this is one of those songs. This is from a soundtrack album, actually. It's a theme song of a movie. And
a James Bond movie,
and it's an interesting song because it kind of varies between very slow down tempo, and then all of a sudden it just breaks open and blows up, and that's of course, it almost explodes. The song almost explodes, and that's exactly what happened on stage. And I'm sorry, radio listeners, I'm going to actually be showing the folks here in the studio what it looked like,
sweet.
But you won't be able to see that. So anyway, this is Paul McCartney and Wings with "Live and Let Die."
You were young and your heart was an open book. You used to say, live and let live.
You know you did.
But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you say, live and let die.
Live and let die.
Live and let die.
Live and let die.
this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in and cry. So live and let die.
With a little bit of a Beach Boys parody. I wonder if that'll be kind of remembered in the years to come, what that was supposed to be. You know, the Beach Boys coming out with California Girls and songs that were kind of about American women, and then the Beatles having this rather comical answer. But I will even wonder, you know, if today do our students, you know, would USSR, would that have a meaning, you know,
I think the USSR part would...
They would know what that was?
I didn't... When I first heard the song, I didn't know it was, like, in response to the Beach Boys, though.
It's a parody of a Beach Boys song. And California Girls, you know, where they're singing about, you know, East Coast girls are hip. I really love it. And, you know, the
Beatles thought the East Block girl,
yeah.
Really.
So they're doing... And as folks, I think, know, there was this huge rivalry... at that point, between Paul McCartney, especially, but the Beatles and the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson, especially, and sadly, you know, for Brian, the Beatles won it.
Oh yeah.
Because it kind of caused Brian a nervous breakdown, and then the Beach Boys were never the same after that. Mm-hmm. But up until that moment, up until Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band came out, the two bands were really kind of tight rivals. Well, now we're going into one last thing that Paul McCartney played at the concert. And yes, Doug, they did like longer songs back then.
They did, didn't they?
But what I will tell you is there was something really, really amazing in... there were 70,000 people there, and there was something really amazing in 70,000 people singing a cappella.
Yep.
The ending refrain of this song, and they would have sung it till the sun rose.
Were they using phones or were they using lighters?
Everything. but the ability to people young and old, and my younger daughter Lucy, her boyfriend Gus was there, and Gus made me happy, proud of the future. Not only of Winona State students who make me proud every day. He's from San Diego, and he knew. You know, he knew all these bands. He knew all the songs. And so, Gus, if you're listening out there, man, you impressed this person right here. But this particular song was a highlight, emotional highlight. Went far longer than this track does, although I think the time this was recorded, it was a long track by radio standards. So, Beatles with Hey Jude.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid. You were made to.
Well, everybody here's got their lighters lit, and we're swaying back and forth and singing along. That was something. 70,000 people singing that. And then that brought us to the last night, which starts off with The Who.
Yep.
And Doug, you saw him long before I did. This is my first time ever seeing him.
Yeah, my friend Todd Blank was a year younger than me, so he came over to my house on his moped. And it's not a joke. And he said, so-and-so can't go to this concert with me. Do you want to go? Who's playing The Who? And I said, are you joking? And he goes, no, The Who. I go, oh, okay. You know.
And it's like an Abbott and Costello routine.
But it was basically that. And then so because one of the reasons he asked me, because I could drive. Right?
You weren't going to that concert on a moped. Yeah, that just was an unseemly way to arrive.
Yeah, because he showed up because he couldn't drive either. That's why he showed up on a moped. So we were probably in the lower bowl of, not on the floor, but in the lower bowl of the old St. Paul Civic Center, but off to the side. So we had pretty decent seats. And the whole way that, like, Roger Daltrey worked the crowd and
Did he do his mic twirling trick?
He did mic twirling. He also flipped out probably a half dozen harmonicas.
Wow.
Because at the ends of some of the songs,
oh, he'd throw them in the crowd?
He'd be just jamming, last note, foof.
Oh.
And then Pete Townsend with the axing of the guitar.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know,
so, ladies and gentlemen, what you're missing here is Doug is simulating it. this sort of windmilling of his arm that Pete Townsend does, where he'd sort of, just like a 360 windmill of his arm.
And then, you know, Pinball Wizard, just even more impactful when he's doing that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then after that, it's like I probably bought 3 or 4 Who cassettes.
Yeah.
I mean, my first experience, I had heard of them, but I had no passion for them.
And if you saw them then, Keith Moon would have been on drums and John Entwistle would have been on bass. And they're, of course, both deceased. And they're kind of still a presence.
Yeah.
They still have their faces up there and refer to them. But it was... Zach Starkey was actually playing the drums the night we were there. Zach Starkey's dad's name is Richard Starkey, but more commonly known as Ringo Starr.
Oh,
and so
that's Paul Harvey,
little
like
Ringo,
the rest of the story.
Yeah, little Ringo was on the drums. I think he's been playing with The Who for a very long time on tour and did a great job. And that makes me think Ringo was out there somewhere probably watching the show.
Absolutely.
Have you ever heard any Who songs before?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Good. I don't ever feel as old when I'm sitting
in
here.
Anne's dad, you know, had her in the front seat listening to KQRS.
Mm-hmm. So the Q92. But see, I'm old enough to remember when that kind of first on the air.
Yeah.
Nah, I knew the difference between Angus Young and James Hetfield by the time I was 4.
See?
I think I made the mistake once, so...
I now feel like a failure as a father. So if any of my daughters are out there listening, I apologize. I didn't do my job
properly. Katie was listening.
Oh, Katie was listening. Okay, great. Speaking of which, we took a vote in the studio here, and we are declaring the winner of the contest is Christine with Simon and Garfunkel. We thought that was the best suggestion. It fit the theme of the concert, right about the same vintage.
Mm-hmm.
Not common. You know, Paul's out there by himself. Artie's out there by himself. But getting them back together seemed to fit really well. So congratulations, Christine, and we'll be mailing your prize to you soon. Mm-hmm. But how about some Who there?
Very good.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old.
Talking about my generation.
Just my generation, baby. Why don't you all fade away? Don't try and dig what we all say. Sensation.
About my generation.
I'm just talking about my generation.
Thank you.
dig what we all not generation.
quiet vibration land. Strange as it seems, his musical dreams ain't quite so bad.